Welcome to the Bearded Banter Podcast, where we'll discuss everything gaming. So sit on back and listen up. Get your headphones ready, we're gonna discuss video games, it's gonna be fun. A win on time for everyone.
Bonjour, mes amis! Welcome to Le Français version of Bearded Banter. I am Riley, here with Shane, and we are going to do this banter in a French accent. Or at least I will, because Shane is giving me the look right now.
French is the croissant.
Shane cannot do a good French accent, and so can I.
See, I could try the French accent, but see... It's not as refined as some of my other accents.
Like Mother Russia.
Anyway, welcome one and all to Bearded Banter, episode 29, I believe.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really know. But anyway, I'm your host, The Bearded One. With me is my French compadre.
Hey, I'm only half French.
Yeah, you're French-Canadian.
Half French-Canadian, one quarter British, one quarter Irish.
I'm part English, I'm obviously Canadian, and I'm part Ukrainian. But anyway, we're here to talk about video games and other video game-related things. Ooh, you just found a plane. By the way, we're playing video games in the background. We're actually playing Saints Row 4 off-camera right now.
Get a photo of the character real quickly.
So. Yes, I will. And I will actually post it in the episode. So, Riley, if you could position that,
I'll take a snapshot of it.
You just hit the computer, that's okay.
I'm sorry.
Look at that surprise quality.
Now, the photo I've just posted on screen is my character in Saints Row 4. He's basically Dr. Manhattan from Watchmen.
With hair and an anime kitty on his back.
Yes.
Which is cool because I like kitties.
But anyway, we're here to talk about video games. So, Riley, for our general discussion
section of the show. I got something to talk about.
You have something.
Okay. Now, as most of you gamers know, the Nintendo 2DS was announced the other day.
Which I actually have the full news story later on, but continue.
But, obviously, you know, I know the story behind it, but... So, basically, what the 2DS is, imagine the DS, the 3DS, without the 3D thing. I'm still talking. Imagine without the 3D thing, I think, and, without a hinge.
Yeah, so,
That's basically what it is.
So, basically, it's just a slab of plastic... Without the 3D functionality of the normal 3DS. So it's basically a 3DS for people who don't like the 3D, gimmick of the 3DS.
Which, I have to say, being a 3DS owner, is actually kind of a good move, because the 3DS thing is either really freaking nauseating...
Yeah, I definitely felt that effect on some... It's not all games that give you the, that nauseous feeling. It's just some games, which is weird.
Like
when I was playing 3D Land, I had no problems. Like, I wasn't getting a headache. I wasn't feeling, sick.
Mario Kart's a sick fest.
Yeah, Mario Kart, when I played that, gave me a bit of a headache.
That's brutal.
Yeah, I honestly think that Nintendo did make the right move here, because not everyone is going to be, people are going to want to play games on the 3DS, but not everyone's going to want to
use the full 3D effect.
Yeah, exactly.
Drink.
Oh, sorry. Here you go, my friend.
Thank you.
But
shout out to Orange Crush.
Yeah. But I really think Nintendo did the right move, because not only can you play 3DS games, you can also play normal DS games.
Oh, shit.
Oh, you're getting attacked. Here, I
can see.
Let me do that. Oh, God. You just got me ran over. But anyway, So yeah, I really think, what is your honest opinion about the 2DS?
Well, most of my opinion of it mainly seems to be just joking around about it, but first thing I have to say, that compared to the side, initially I was like, how the hell is that going to fit your pocket?
But it's not meant to.
Yeah, it's meant for it's actually meant for kids, believe it or not. It's meant for
Oh, that's really smart, because kids are really going to, some kids are going to be,
they're not going to have a pocket room for that.
Yeah, exactly. And also some kids, some kids have some, pretty, I can't talk today, but some kids aren't going to be as, vulnerable to the 3D effect as others.
Yes, some, like you, Shane, you wear glasses, so it obviously doesn't work as well on you as it does on me.
But, like I said, I think Nintendo, it was a smart move that they managed to, you know, come up with this idea. And the fact that it can play both 3DS and DS games, and it's like $30, $40 cheaper than the actual 3DS.
Honestly, Nintendo is really coming off as the good guy. Okay, they dropped the price of the Wii, they dropped the price of the 3DS, they released this, and everybody's giving them shit. I don't know why. You know what they say, nice guys finish last.
Yeah. But, anything else you want to discuss? You said you had a couple things.
Well, the other thing, it's not really gaming related, but...
Right.
I'm sure this is not recent news by any means now.
It's a week or older, so...
But it doesn't matter. So, Ben Affleck has been cast as Batman.
Yes, anyone who's not familiar with the story, they announced that the sequel to Man of Steel, coming in 2015, will actually be a Superman-Batman crossover movie.
Sweet.
And they announced that Ben Affleck will be the new Batman. Christian Bale is not returning. So, Ben Affleck has been cast as the new Batman, which... Honestly, I'm not that familiar with Ben Affleck's acting roles, so
but
I really can't say much about
I'm
it.
I'm a little bit more familiar with it, so I'm going to give my two cents on this. Now, even though the general consensus with Ben Affleck in for a while has been, you know, oh, he's an okay actor, I mean, he's done some pretty shitty movies, but he's also done some pretty good ones, but my honest opinion on this is that, well, don't get me wrong, Jilgi, or however the hell you pronounce it, I'm sorry. Yeah, Jilgi, it came out like 2003. It was like the worst movie I've ever seen.
I don't think I've ever heard you say that. I don't think I've ever heard you like label something as the worst movie you've ever seen.
I've seen some pretty bad movies in my time, believe it or not. But yeah, that was definitely bad. It was back when, you know, Ben Affleck was dating, Jennifer Lopez.
Once again, I'm not that familiar with Ben Affleck,
he was dating her, and it was Bennifer, you know, that whole...
Bennifer,
that stupid shit.
That stupid...
Tabloid bullshit.
Yeah, stupid tabloids are like, oh, these two celebrities are dating, let's combine their names because they're such a cute couple. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, like, really, let them be, really. So who gives a shit they're dating? Let them
honestly, I don't blame celebrities for going off on the paparazzi because they deserve
okay.
it.
Okay. You saw what Alec Baldwin did to that paparazzi guy, right? Okay,
yes.
He slammed him into a car. Alec fucking Baldwin slammed him into a car.
You know what? The media deserves it. Yeah,
they're annoying.
I get that you're like a world-renowned actor and that you're a celebrity in the modern era, but really, you deserve privacy, and they don't give you that.
Like me, I really value my privacy, which is why me and my brother spat occasionally. But that's okay. Inside joke. But, yeah, like, if I have some asshole on my ass 24/7 taking photos, I'm gonna go all fucking, like... What was the song? I don't know.
I'm not sure, actually.
Good song, though. But, like, if I had some asshole taking photos of me 24/7, I'm liable to fucking snap at him. It's common logic.
Yeah. I mean, really. It's like, I'm just trying to go to the grocery store. And
I just want to get some bits and bites.
Yeah, I really think it's bullshit that people are like, oh, since they're celebrities, they can't do normal people things. They can't go to the supermarket like normal people. Bullshit, they can. You just don't let them because you harass them so much.
Yeah, it's like, oh...
No wonder more and more celebrities aren't as...
nice as they used to be.
Yeah, aren't as liable for public appearances.
Like, you know Harrison Ford, right?
Yes.
Whenever he's doing an interview, he's never happy doing it because, you know, he has social anxiety. Two, he doesn't like paparazzi.
Nah, I don't blame him.
Like,
but anyway, I think we're really getting off topic here.
Oh yeah, what was I talking about again?
Ben Affleck is Batman.
Okay, so Ben Affleck did not really have a good streak in the early 2000s. He made some pretty bad movies, but like Pearl Harbor. Well, actually, Pearl Harbor wasn't that bad. But okay,
never saw it.
Recently, I think many people can agree with me on this. Ben Affleck has really, really turned himself around. Like one. He directed and starred in the film The Town, which was incredible. And just last year, he released a movie that blew my fucking mind. Argo, about the 1979.
Argo.
Yeah, it's where he plays, I forget his name, but it's a real story. And it's about getting the American hostages out of Iran after the Iranian hostage crisis. It's actually
I've heard about Argo, I just haven't seen it.
It's really good. He directed and plays the main character in it, and that film is quite possibly one of, if not the best movies of 2012, in my opinion.
You know, I think it's pretty impressive when a director manages to direct the entire production while also starring in his own production.
Yeah, Quentin Tarantino did that a lot when he was He doesn't really do it now, but when he first started making movies, he was pretty much the main character.
Yeah, you really have to, like, have some pretty decent talent to be able to direct the, you know, direct every action on screen while also performing those actions yourself.
Another interesting note, you brought up, I actually had a chance to watch the movie Braveheart recently, which is where Mel Gibson plays William Wallace, trying to get Scottish independence, and he's the main character, and he also directs it. So
wait, Mel Gibson directed Braveheart?
Yeah, he directed it.
I did not know
and
that.
And starred in it.
I knew he starred in it. I did not know he directed that. Wow. You learn something new every day.
Yeah.
Even though it may not be important.
Oh, shout out to learning something new. The best is yet to come from the Metal Gear Solid soundtrack is in Irish.
Yeah, I just saw your post on the Gamers of Windsor.
Yeah, it's in the Irish language.
But anyway, your final thoughts on Ben Affleck being cast as Batman. Like, how do you...
High hopes.
Yeah, how do you feel his talent will transfer over to The Dark Knight?
Well, the town and Argo really proved to me that he can be really good if he tries. And so you know what? I have high hopes.
Do you think he'll be able to portray that character pretty well? Or?
I guess we can only wait and see, but I honestly have good hopes that I think he can pull it off pretty well. Because, let's face it, Bruce Wayne is kind of like, you know, a smart-ass philanthropist.
He's exactly that.
Ben Affleck actually plays that kind of character really well if you watch his movies. So.
Well, then again, Tony Stark is the same thing.
Yeah. So,
and Robert Downey Jr. played him perfectly.
Oh, no, not even a question. So, yeah, honestly, oh my god, I remember this
song.
Oh my god. Remember the Labatt's Blue commercials? The song was in it.
Yeah. But anyway.
Okay, final verdict. Ben Affleck, don't disappoint me. I got good hopes for you, man. I'm like the 1% of the internet population who actually thinks that you'll actually be a good Batman, so don't disappoint me.
See, I would give my opinion on it if I knew more about Ben Affleck. Because really, I don't know that much about him.
One thing we've pretty much established in this episode is that I know more about movie knowledge and he knows more about game knowledge.
Yeah, pretty much. But anyway, anything else you want to discuss or can I state mine?
If you want to take it over, yeah, that's pretty much all I have to discuss.
Alright, here you go.
So I'm going to play Saints Row now.
Saints Row 4.
Playing
anyway,
naked.
Actually,
yeah, fuck you, people.
Most of these points for general discussion I thought of while playing Saints Row games. So this first point, Riley, when you're playing an open world game like GTA, and you know they have like a music system where like they have different radio stations playing different music all the time, have you ever been driving to a mission to only have one of your favorite songs come on the radio, and then you delay going to that mission just so you can listen to that one song?
Yep.
So it's like you're driving in a car going to a mission, and then like one of your favorite songs pops up on one of the radio stations. You're like, oh shit, the mission's like 30 seconds away. So you just like park the car and just listen to the whole thing.
Oh yeah,
I do that way too much.
I think it was GTA 3, but I forget what song it was. But I remember I was playing that, and a really good song came on the radio that I like, which I can't remember, but that's unfortunate. Excuse me. And I loved the song so much at the time. It might have been a Smash Mouth song, I'm not sure. But, anywho, I was like, oh, I gotta do a mission. Come on, right before I get out of the car, too.
Yeah, I know.
So I was listening to that song, just like, okay, I'll do the mission. Which, let's face it, happens a lot in real life.
Yeah.
Like, you go to, okay, it's shitty, let's face it, car radios are horrible. But the instant you get out of the car, good song comes on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like almost instinct, like someone's watching, like, oh, he likes the song, put it on as he's getting out of the car.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of modern radio stations, because radio nowadays is pretty awful.
Yeah, like, honestly, they play... Okay, this is why Grand Theft Auto was really realistic. They only play the same 5 songs on the radio. I'm not sure... That might have been intentional, actually.
Yeah, true. It's really realistic in that context. But anyway, I just wanted to mention it, because, like, I do that way too much in open-world games, where it's like, I was playing Saints Row the Third, and one song kept playing, like... I basically made my custom playlist, because in Saints Row you can make your own custom playlist out of like all the different songs on each radio station. One of my favorite songs was on one of the stations, and for a while I made my custom playlist just that song so I could just listen to that one over and over.
I'm like that sometimes.
And I would just park and I would listen to it, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go do a mission now. So I just wanted to mention that, because I think it's something that anyone who plays like a GTA-style game intentionally does every now and then.
Oh, we all do it. Are you kidding me? Not even a joke.
But anyway, something else I wanted to talk about. Riley, we mentioned, I think it was the last episode, our favorite trilogy of games. I have another question for you. What's your favorite game series?
game series?
Yeah, like, what's your favorite game franchise?
I would probably have to say Metal Gear.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
Well, no, actually, it'd be a tie between Metal Gear, because that's what I remember playing a lot of, and Super Mario, because, let's face it, a lot of us grew up playing Mario games.
Yeah, definitely.
Mario 64 was one of the first games I played.
Yeah, me too.
Actually, fun fact, the first game I ever played was Paddlewing 64.
You've mentioned that before.
Yep.
But I remember when, I think it was when I was 3 or 4, when my sister, my dad, and I, we would set the N64 up upstairs, and every night for like an hour or two, we would play through Mario 64 together as a family.
Yeah.
Aww. I still remember that pretty fondly.
I wish my parents played video games.
But anyway, so going off of that, what is the favorite game of your favorite series? Like, out of the entire series, what is your favorite entry?
Okay, so for Metal Gear Solid, I would have to say, even though this is a remake, Twin Snakes, which is the GameCube remake of the first Metal Gear Solid.
Yes.
Which is a game, I actually played through it recently, and I forgot how fucking awesome that game was, and I realized how much I actually really love that game, so I'm probably going to play it again later tonight when I get back home.
But, So you said your favorite series is a tie between Metal Gear and Mario. Then what's your favorite Mario game?
Mario Galaxy.
Really?
Yeah.
See, now, that's a different reaction than most Mario fans, because most Mario fans would either say Mario 3 or Mario World is their favorite.
I grew up a little too late to actually experience growing up on those games. So right around the time I really, really, really got into video games was the time Mario Galaxy came out. So, yeah, I was kind of a late comer to the game, but that's alright.
Yeah, Mario Galaxy is still an amazing game.
Oh, fuck yeah. Not even a question. So, yeah, that's definitely a game I really enjoy playing. And I remember I was going for, like, a good long time trying to get Luigi. And then Mario Galaxy 2 came out, and that game was just, like, a boost.
Yeah, I remember. I actually 100% completed Mario Galaxy, like, 8 times.
Yeah,
four 100% playthroughs as both Mario and Luigi.
Yeah. I didn't realize how easy Mario Galaxy actually was until I got the second one.
Yeah, I know, right?
God, the second one is brutal.
Yeah, I can breeze through Mario Galaxy 100% in, like, no time flat. But, anyway, I would have to say for me, my favorite game series, I would have to say Sonic. Because,
yeah.
You know, I'm a huge Sonic fan. Like, the first Sonic game I remember playing was Sonic Adventure 2, and I just love Sonic ever since. I just love... For me, going fast in a game is something that's really exciting to me, so the fact that Sonic's main mechanic is built around speed, he's just one of my favorite series.
Hence why you like Saints Row 4.
Yeah, Saints Row 4 is great too, but I'd have to say my favorite game series is Sonic the Hedgehog. My favorite game out of that series, I would have to say it's a tie between Sonic 2 and Sonic Generations.
Sonic Generations.
Yeah, because we can actually play later if you want.
Yeah, maybe.
But, Sonic Generations... Well, Sonic the Hedgehog 2... I know a lot of people... Oh, wow, 600. I already have half of those clusters. But anyway, Sonic the Hedgehog 2... A lot of people who are a fan of the old-school Sonic games would probably disagree with me that Sonic 2 is their favorite, but to me, it is. Most people would say Sonic 3 and Knuckles is their favorite, but honestly, I have more fonder memories of playing Sonic 2 than any other Sonic game. So
it all matters what game you like. Like, there's some people who didn't like Mario Galaxy...
I don't understand how, but, you know...
And if you ask me, they're nuts, but, you know, that's their opinion.
That's their opinion. They're entitled to it.
Opinion.
But anyway, yeah, most people say that out of the classic series, Sonic 3 and Knuckles is the best. To me, it's Sonic 2, because I just have the most fond memories of playing through Sonic 2 than any other of the classic Sonic games.
That's good.
So that, to me, makes it one of my favorites. And Sonic Generations, I feel, is just, like, one giant love letter to people who loved Sonic...
Oh, yeah.
Because of the entire concept behind the game. The entire game is basically just fan service in the best possible way. And the fact that they brought classic Sonic back, and they kept the essence of the Genesis games alive while, like, you know, modernizing it a bit to make it feel fresh, I think is one of the best things you can do in a game. And the fact that they took modern Sonic's gameplay and basically perfected it in that game made it one of, like, the best Sonic game. Probably the best 3D Sonic game to date.
Arguably.
But anyway, that's my opinion. Feel free to argue with me, but...
Just know you won't listen.
Yes, but anyway. Another thing I want to mention. I think we've discussed this before. Game feel.
What's up?
Game feel. You know, like how a game controls, how a game feels when you're playing it.
We might have.
Yeah, I think we've mentioned this before, but I just want to mention, like, it's really hard to, like, define game feel, because, like, I just want to mention this because, like, going from Saints Row 2 to Saints Row the Third, they still feel like the same game, but they play completely different. So it's, like, it's hard to, you know, define what exactly game feel is, but to me, game feel is, like, how a game plays, how a game controls, and, like, how a game functions.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you think about game feel? How would you define it?
Well, there's really not much I can say to that you haven't already said, but game feel can just basically be described as, how a game, like, you know how certain games have, like, their own style of control to them?
Yes.
Like, GTA games, and, like, GTA games are obviously going to play a lot different than Borderlands, or, they're obviously going to play a lot different than Metal Gear. So, like, you know, each game has their own feel. Like, Metal Gear has their own style of controls. Like,
yeah,
you know,
definitely.
Sneak around, first go into first person, then, I'm trying to do the controls on here. What am I doing?
Yeah, but yeah, definitely. Like, each individual game is going to have its own feel to it that's going to be different from other games. Because, you know, unless it's like a sequel, unless it's like in the same series, it's going to feel different from another game.
Yeah.
And to me, game feel really comes down to how the game feels while you're playing it, and how much, you know, how much control you have over your character. Like, if your character controls really smoothly, then the game feel for that game is going to be a fun experience. Whereas, if a game controls like ass, you know, it's going to hinder the experience quite a bit, because, you know, controlling the actual character is going to be more of a hassle than it is an experience.
What's a game with really bad control?
Ninja Bread Man.
Oh, yeah.
we've mentioned it before. We don't have to mention it again.
Yeah, I don't want to.
Yeah, but I just wanted to mention that because going from Saints Row 2... Sorry, there was music in Saints Row 4.
Shout out to the random Mexican music.
Yeah, going from Saints Row 2 to Saints Row the Third, like, they're still, like, in the same series, and there's, you know, they're sequels to each other, but they each have their own unique feel to the game itself. Like, you can tell, like, they're in the same series because they do control very similarly, but the game feel for each game is completely different. So, I don't know, game feel is one of the most difficult things to discuss in, like, the game
world. And if
anything,
we probably need to do a whole video just on it.
Yeah. But I just wanted to mention that because I've experienced it in the last week or so. A couple more things I want to mention before we move on to news. Riley, have you ever felt that a game has been unjustly criticized just because it's a sequel?
Actually, yes, I have. Like, I've definitely played games, and technically this is a threequel, so it sort of counts. But
Uncharted 3.
Shit, yeah. You know me too well. Yeah, I know. So whenever it goes to games, it usually goes to Uncharted or Metal Gear for me.
Yeah.
Borderlands for him.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Honestly, like, don't get me wrong. It was definitely not as good as Uncharted 2, but I still thought it was a really good game nonetheless.
Yeah.
But people were being kind of unfair towards it.
Yeah, like, playing, you know, you play a game, and you're like, oh, this is cool, it's a really good game, and then you play the sequel, and then, you know, really, sequels are very polarizing in terms
of reaction. Either
you
love it or you hate it.
Yeah, because there are those people who say, oh, it's disappointing compared to the previous game because they either took stuff out or they messed up the formula too much. And then there are people who are like, no, the sequel, even though it's a sequel, it's an improvement over the last game, and it really warrants good reception. It's like, sequels are very polarizing things, and
you can't win.
Yeah, you can't win with a sequel. Either you love it or you hate it. And, like, let's say, like, Saints Row 2, I played this week, and it was a really good game. You just flashing over there?
Yeah.
But Saints Row 2 was a really good game, and I had a really great time with it. And then I started playing Saints Row the Third, which I heard very polarizing things. Some people said it was a fantastic game, other people said it was disappointing to 2. That it wasn't, you know, it was kind of like a letdown. And then I played Saints Row the Third, and I actually liked the Third more than 2.
So as long, I get, you know what? The opinion of what other people say in video games doesn't matter. As long as you like it,
yeah.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah, but we have to, you know, we have to discuss it because we are in the gaming industry.
We are.
Well, not the industry, but we are gamers, so, you know, we do have to talk about this stuff.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, and then I started playing 4, which we're playing right now in the background, and I'm actually enjoying this more than 3. So it's like, there are some series where with each sequel, it gets worse and worse, but then to me, there are those series like Saints Row, where with each new game, it actually gets better and more fun.
I'm just going to give my opinion right now, and I guess I'm going back to Metal Gear, but okay, like, Metal Gear 1, and I guess by extension Twin Snakes, because it's a remake, fantastic games. Metal Gear Solid 2, good, but, you know, not as good as the first one was. Metal Gear Solid 3 was incredible. Metal Gear Solid 4 was good, but, you know, not what I was really expecting it to be.
So it seems like with Metal Gear, every other game is eh.
Yeah, well, Metal Gear Solid 4 would have been good if, you know, they actually put more emphasis on stealth instead of just, you know, customizing weapons and shooting shit up.
Ah, so it had, like, the Resident Evil syndrome, where
yeah.
It became more action than
yeah,
its
very,
fruits.
Very big problem I had with Metal Gear Solid 4, aside from the 20-year-long cutscenes, was, I'm not kidding, they're ridiculous.
Oh, I know. Don't worry, I know about it.
And a big problem I had is, like, you know, you have a lot of weapons to customize. Well, in Metal Gear Solid 1, 2, and 3, you only had so many weapons. And you had to, like, be pretty... You had to be stingy with ammo at times. So that got, like, annoying.
Yeah.
But that's what gave it its charm. You know, it encouraged you to sneak around instead of, you know, shooting shit up. Well, Metal Gear Solid 4 went the COD route and, you know, decided, you know, hey, let's forget stealth entirely and just shoot shit up.
Yeah, so sequels, to me... A sequel can be one of two things. It can either take what was good about the previous installment and then improve upon those mechanics to make it feel better and overall make it a more enjoyable experience than the previous games. You know, improve on the formula. Or it can just fuck everything up.
Yeah, or it can either go one way or another. Find you. I'm gonna get you. One. I couldn't resist.
But anyway, yeah, so to me, I feel that I really feel that people give sequels too much flack. You know, I think sequels get more flack than they deserve. I really think if, you know, a good company can really take what was great about the previous game and improve upon it in the sequel to make it a better experience.
GTA 5?
Yeah, I think that sequels are, you know, really shouldn't get as much flack as they do, but, you know, that's up to discussion. And one more thing I want to discuss before we move on to news, the Saints Row games. Because I got 2, 3, and 4 in the last week, and I played through 2 and 3, currently playing 4. This series is actually a really good series. Like, this series has some fantastic stuff.
I'm making a kitty in my back dance.
I know, it's wiggling. It's like, woo! Got the Zoidberg syndrome. But anyway, I just wanted to mention it because, like, this is the series I've gotten into recently, and, like, each game has something new to offer, which is how, like, sequels should be handled. You know, each game... You know, each new game should... oh, God.
Yeah.
Each new game should improve upon what made the last one great while adding new exciting things. So, like, Saints Row 2 to Saints Row 3... Saints Row 3, it really had a more lighthearted story than Saints Row 2, and it had more engaging humor. Whereas Saints Row 4 to Saints Row 3, it really just went over the edge and really just let you do, you know... This is when it's really gotten, like, to the brim of crazy.
Yeah, from what I'm playing from Saints Row 4 right now, it's pretty much just, fuck it, YOLO. Oh, shit, I'm getting shot.
Yeah.
And I'm naked.
Yeah.
Not a good combination.
But,
that girl's hot.
But yeah, I just wanted to mention these games because it's what I've been into lately. And, really, I haven't played Saints Row 1 just because in my area it's incredibly hard to find. But each game...
Our area.
Yes. But each game has something new to offer. So, I really recommend people who haven't gotten into Saints Row yet, if you're into these kind of open-world action games, I really suggest that you should get into Saints Row, because you'll find something you'll like in each individual game, and you'll probably have fun with it. I know I had a lot of fun with each game individually in different ways, so I really recommend to anyone who hasn't gotten into Saints Row yet, it's a better time than ever, because 4 just came out, so I really recommend this series.
Yeah.
So anything else you want to say before we move on to news?
Well, I'm kind of playing Saints Row right now, so I don't really have a lot to contribute. Whoa, glitch.
Remember, it is a simulation.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Not Ode to Joy.
Hey, Ode to Joy is sick. Shut up.
While you're running naked through the streets?
Yeah! Woo!
But anyway. But anyway, I'll move on to news now. There's actually... Really, I was looking for news this morning, and really, all the major gaming... All the interesting gaming news this week came from Nintendo.
Yeah.
Like, none of the other companies really had that much going on in terms of news.
I actually just kind of want to say something right now.
Okay.
Now, okay, I think I already mentioned, I'm not sure if we were recording or not, but Nintendo is really coming off as sort of a good guy now, and I think they're kind of being overshadowed. Like, what did they do? They dropped the price on the 3DS and the Wii U, and let's see, they released a new system for that kind of eliminates all the problems of the 3DS, and...
It definitely eliminates more of the annoying factors of the DS that people might not like.
And now look, because you know how the gaming industry is, Nintendo's getting a lot of flack, so people keep that flack going. And look, they really are being the good guys here, and Sony and Microsoft, after having the little Duke Out Wars at E3, they're just going, you guys don't have GTA 5, you guys don't have high-def graphics. Well, if you look at it,
well,
Nintendo sort of offers a little bit more. I mean, look, Netflix, basically free online. Really. Honestly, Nintendo really comes off as a good guy, and as anybody who goes to high school knows, nice guys finish last. So.
But anyway, I'll just get started with these news stories. So anyway, most of this, other than our last news story, most of this news is coming from Nintendo this week. So,
fuck you, Will.
All of the first-party Nintendo titles coming out near the end of the year have had official release dates announced. So, Wind Waker HD comes out on October 4th.
Oh my god, Wind Waker.
Well, it comes out September 20th digitally on the Wii U Marketplace, and then October 4th physical release. Wii U Party comes out October 25th. Really, who gives a shit?
Not me.
Mario 3D World. Actually, three games come out on the same day. Mario 3D World, Zelda A Link Between Worlds, and the new Mario Party come out November 22nd.
Mario Party.
Yeah. There's a new Mario Party coming out for Wii U in November. I have no idea what it is, but anyway.
Have you cared for Mario Party?
9 kind of ruined it for me, because 9 was awful.
Yeah, nobody thought 9 was good.
And Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze comes out December 6th. So I just want to mention those. Those have all gotten official release dates. Nintendo announced that the Wii U Deluxe Bundle is getting a price cut. It is now $300 instead of $350. So that comes with the 32-gig black Deluxe Wii U console for $300 now. So do you think more people will start buying Wii U's now? Because, really, it's getting to that point where I moved a drink over here. I just didn't want you to spill it. But I feel like now is really the time to start buying a Wii U because not only has it gotten a... price cut, but also the major games that everyone is waiting for are starting to come out soon. Like in the next month or so, we get Wind Waker HD. And another news story I have later on, which I will get to, really is a better incentive than ever to start buying Wii U's. What do you think?
Well, that's good for the Wii U. You know, they got all their big shit coming out, but you know, unless Nintendo can, you know, stop relying so much on their first-party stuff and, you know, get some third-party stuff, get some good third-party stuff.
Well,
going.
The Wonderful 101 just came out a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, but, you know, if they can, like, go the route of what Sony and Microsoft are doing and, you know, really go for the third-party content instead of relying so much on the first-party, the Wii U is going to be left in the dirt.
Yeah, I really think the Nintendo... It's one of their biggest strengths, but it's also one of their biggest weaknesses. The fact that Nintendo relies so much on their first-party content that they don't get... Like, the third... Either good or decent third-party content for Nintendo consoles get ignored because everyone only cares about the first-party stuff. And they focus so much on that the third-party doesn't really get a chance to shine on Nintendo consoles.
Not really.
But I think that now, like, obviously when the Wii U launched... It's almost been a year since the Wii U came out already.
Oh, shit.
Jesus Christ. Wow.
Okay.
But,
Yeah, I know.
I think that now is a better time than ever to start buying Wii U's because not only is it cheaper, you just kicked that car. Not only is it cheaper, but also the big games that you know are going to be quality games are starting to come out. So I really think it's a better time than ever to start buying Wii U's.
Are you going to be getting one?
Probably not.
Yeah,
but...
I mean, yeah, neither am I. Honestly, I'm probably going to get a PS4. Maybe.
Yeah, me too. But as I mentioned earlier. With Wind Waker, they also announced that there will be a Wind Waker HD Wii U bundle, which will include the Black Deluxe Edition console, the Black gamepad with Zelda decals, so it has, like, these cool designs on the gamepad, and they're, like, golden. It comes with a digital version of Wind Waker HD, and also a digital copy of the Hyrule Historia, which is, like, their Zelda encyclopedia. And that is coming out for the same price as the new Wii U's, $300, on September 20th. So do you really think that this is going to, you know, this bundle is going to get people to start buying Wii U's again?
Well, as I said, unless Nintendo gets, you know, some good other games than, you know, Mario or Zelda or fucking Mario Party, Metroid, you know, unless Nintendo can do that, I don't know, like, I definitely won't be getting Wii U anytime soon anyways.
But do you think that the fact that they're bundling Wind Waker HD with the console will give people a reason to start buying it?
It'll help, but as I said, until Nintendo can start getting third parties...
Yeah, they definitely need to, you know, focus more on the third party, along with the first party. There needs to be a balance.
Yeah.
With Nintendo, there isn't a balance between first and third party.
It's like, you know...
It's all Mario, Zelda, Donkey Kong, that stuff.
And Mario Party, which, let's face it, Mario Party is not good.
Well, not anymore, at least.
I was never a fan of the games.
Really?
No, I never cared for them.
That's interesting. So yeah, I think that the fact that Wind Waker HD has been kind of hyped up since E3, well, what the hell, I really think that this bundle was a smart move by Nintendo to start getting sales again.
Because let's face it, the Wii U, in contrast from the Wii, which pretty much dominated the market for a while, the Wii U...
has really been a disappointing successor.
Yeah.
It really hasn't gotten as much steam as the Wii ever had.
I think the Wii was, like, as revolutionary as it could have gotten, and the Wii U is just, like...
The Wii U's trying to catch up.
It's
trying to relive that momentum.
But...
That the Wii had, but failing miserably.
Yeah.
But anyway,
Hey, when are they gonna discontinue the Wii?
I have no idea. The fact that the PS2 stuff is still being made, probably not for a while. But,
shout out to the
PS2. So yeah, that bundle was announced earlier this week. And our last bit of Nintendo news, which we mentioned earlier in general discussion, the Nintendo 2DS was announced this week, where basically it is a Nintendo 3DS. It is a Nintendo 3DS without the 3D functionality. And it is coming out on October... It's coming out on October 12th for $130. Now, it doesn't have any hinges. It's basically just a standalone tablet. It can't fold like the 3DS, and obviously the biggest difference is it has no 3D functionality. It can play any 3DS or DS game, it's just it cannot play 3DS games in 3D, which is the entire point. It's a system for people who don't like the 3D capability of the 3DS. It's like a second option for them.
So basically, if you already have a 3DS, here's how you make a 2DS. Get duct tape and tape the screen open, and there's going to be a little switch on the side. I'm not sure if you noticed it or not, but you push it down, and boom, no more 3D.
No more 3D. Yeah, so, like I said before, I think it's a smart move for Nintendo to do.
Because the 3D thing is kind of a... Yeah.
I think it's a smart move for Nintendo to do to cater more towards the people who don't necessarily like the 3D or have had problems with the 3D. But then again, you can just turn the 3D off on the 3DS anyway.
So it's like, what's the point? It's like,
so really, it helps, but also it's unnecessary at the same time.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, so that was announced this week. And our last bit of news, which I had to mention because I'm a huge fan, Gearbox announced that there will be a Borderlands 2 Game of the Year edition. It's coming out on October 8th for $60, same as the normal price. The only difference is that the Game of the Year edition comes with every single piece of downloadable content released for the game thus far. So it comes with all four add-on campaigns, the two extra character classes, all the customization, all the extra downloadable customization stuff, like skins and heads and such, the Creature Slaughter Dome, which is like an arena challenge map kind of thing.
Yeah.
And there was something else. Oh, and it comes with the Ultimate Vault Hunter upgrade pack, which basically raises the level cap. So it comes with all of that downloadable content for the same price as the standard game. So would you actually buy that when that came out?
Well, putting aside the fact that I have to go to school and
yes,
I kind of have to save money, would I buy it? I probably would.
Yeah, I mean, Anyone who hasn't, like, experienced Borderlands 2 but has wanted to at this point...
Our Shane, who's basically been holding a knife to my throat saying play it for the past 3 months.
Well, you have played it, and you said you enjoy it, but it's not your favorite, so...
Yeah.
You know, so more power to you.
I don't know if I actually want to get it.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not forcing you to buy it, I'm just saying, I think it's a great game. You might not think so, but I just wanted to recommend it to you if you were interested in it. But, yeah, I think anyone who hasn't been... who's been interested in playing Borderlands 2 but hasn't been able to play it yet, I think wait until October 8th when the Game of the Year edition comes out, because it's going to be the same price as the standard version, but you're going to get all that extra stuff, which is worth that purchase. And it's not going to cost you any extra money than the standard game, so... I think, really, anyone who wants to get into Borderlands, this is your chance. October 8th, Game of the Year edition.
I was actually in Michigan recently, and I saw Borderlands 2 for, like, $20.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, still, I think it's a better time than ever for people to get into this game if they haven't yet.
BioShock 3 is still expensive, though.
Yeah, and Infinite's... Well, Infinite's, like, just came out this year. Borderlands 2 is a little older.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm all out of news stories, so if there's anything else you want to discuss...
Nope. I got nothing. I'm playing fucking Saints Row 4.
Final thoughts on Saints Row 4 before we end?
Well, I'm just kind of flying around, so I'm not really doing the missions, but so far, I gotta say I'm pretty hooked.
Okay, sweet.
So shit, my wallet is gonna hate me.
So that, with all that said, that concludes this week's edition of the Bearded Banters. Thank you very much for watching.
Au revoir, everyone.
As always, I am the Bearded One, your host.
You
with me is my co-host, Rand Richard, who is currently destroying the city of Steelport in Saints Row 4.
But I can still say goodbye to you nice, lovely people.
And we will bid you adieu. Keep on gaming, everyone.
The superpowers, they're fun. You should go into a simulated world and take some alien drugs to get them. It's gonna be fun. Trust me.
Oh, big fat donkey dick.